Every town has a dark side. This is Andrew Fitzgerald from the Every Town podcast, where every single week we dive into insane and mysterious true crime stories, most of which you've never heard of. Stories like the bizarre disappearance of Tyler Davis in Columbus, Ohio, a 29-year-old father trying to find his way back to his hotel when he disappeared and was never heard from again, and Elizabeth Schoaf from Lugoff, South Carolina, who was abducted from her driveway by a madman and taken to his underground bunker in the woods. We give you all the details you're interested in hearing about without any fluff or fillers, because ain't nobody got time for that. We cover everything from psychopaths to poltergeists, so go check out the Every Town podcast, because every town, no matter how nice it may seem, has a dark side.
This episode of The Horror Show is brought to you by Colin Campbell and Destiny DiMattea. Thank you guys so much. Destiny, appreciate the support. Really, really appreciate it. Colin sponsored the show at patreon.com/IHateHorror. If you can support monetarily, you can go there. And welcome to The Horror Show, a show that dissects, mutilates, dismembers, and butchers all of your favorite and not so favorite horror movies and other horror related events. Sean.
I'm Joe.
So, Joe, we've got some episodes to record today.
We do?
Yeah.
Yeah, we do. They're very fun ones.
Dude, okay, so everyone. Spoilers. It's Ghost Ship.
Yeah.
It's Ghost Ship this week.
Is this your first time viewing it?
It is. Nice. And I have a lot to say right now. Okay. I have a lot to say. But one thing I want to say real quick before I want to just do some announcements too. One thing I wanted to say about this is we just did an Instagram live video before we started recording. And I was like, and we're doing Ghost Ship and it fucking sucks. And everyone was like, I fucking love Ghost Ship.
Everyone on that chat.
Not a single person was like, it's bad. One guy was like, I love Ghost Ship, even though it sucks. Joe, this has an audience.
I don't understand.
And our good friend, Stephanie, is that her name?
Yep.
Stephanie.
Yeah, it is.
Stephanie Gerben.
Yep.
Stephanie Greben. Greben. Stephanie from NYC, she said, she tweeted us that she was like, I just posted on Facebook, like, how much I love Ghost Ship, and I don't understand why everyone hates it. And she was like, everyone commented on it saying, I fucking love Ghost Ship. So my thought is, and she,
everybody's an asshole.
So her theory was, because she was under the impression everyone was like, fuck Ghost Ship, it sucks, but then everyone liked it. So she was like, I think people were afraid to admit that it was good.
Right.
I think people now, maybe that was true, I don't know, but now I think people have forgotten about it and are just like, oh yeah, I love that movie. Does that make any sense? I don't know.
Well, why?
Because they forgot.
They forgot.
I just don't understand how you can like it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I would not forget that I didn't like it.
No.
Because I didn't.
Not in a million years. Not in a million years. And I also swore, dude, I went through our catalog and I told this to Stephanie, but I was wrong. I was like, I can't wait because Joe says he doesn't like this movie, but I know I have audio evidence that says Joe liked it.
I say a lot of bullshit. I would never say that.
I couldn't find it.
I would not.
It was on Guys Like Us.
I do own it on DVD.
It was Guys Like Us. But I think you were like, have you ever seen Ghost Ship? And I was like, I forget, though. But it doesn't matter because it doesn't exist. So you're probably right. I probably fabricated it. Okay. And case closed.
I might have said I liked the opening scene, which now I don't.
I do like the opening scene.
I understand it.
Okay.
Like, so oh yeah, we should probably start.
Yeah, we'll start the show.
Weren't you making an announcement? Was that your announcement?
No, that wasn't my announcement. My announcement is it sucks and everyone likes it. Good night. No, my announcements. We got a few. Not really announcements. One announcement. Salem Horror Fest. I think it's October 14th.
Oh, really? I thought it was closer to Halloween.
No. Well, October 14th.
Oh, shit.
I sent you the date. That's why. Huh. That's interesting. I'm pretty sure it's October 14th, like 99% sure. Now Joe has me doubting it, but I'm 90% sure. October 14th, we have a live show at the Salem Horror Fest. We'll have more details in the months to come, but you can check them out. Just Google Salem Horror Fest. I'll be posting their information soon. It might just be me hosting it. We'll see. There is a little baby Joe on the way.
There is.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Or Jolene.
Yeah.
Jolene.
That's what we're calling it. Jolene.
That's what we're calling it.
Yeah, it is a baby girl.
It's and, a baby girl.
It will be due, or October it's expected 4th. October 4th. Yeah. So.
And my wife was 2 weeks late.
Yeah, there's a good chance I won't be there.
Yeah, so we'll see. But it might just be me on stage crying. Maybe I'll bring Paul. That's a terrible idea.
Bring Mike. Bring Mike.
Do you think Paul Amato?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would do that.
Do it.
But he would just
flap in a second.
He might just be like, you're a cunt.
Well, yeah.
Well, oh, my God. G.G. Allen it and like shove a banana up his ass and then throw it into the audience.
I think young Mike would. He's mature.
No. Old Mike would not. I mean, personally, as I'm saying that, I'm getting more excited thinking he would, and me just standing there.
And I mean, he would definitely.
Everyone in abject horror.
You could easily talk him into it. It just wouldn't be spontaneous. That's what I'm saying.
It would have to be a little coaching.
I mean, you'd just be like, hey, Mike, please stick this banana up your ass.
All I would do is be like, all right, Mike, let's hang out the night before, just get acclimated to each other. And, you know, and then I would just put on.
Hated.
Real put on some inspiration. Be like, you know what would be really cool tomorrow? Stuck a banana up your ass. Can we just talk about Hated, actually? How he he unpeels the banana.
I mean, that's honestly a cop-out. Because if it's not peeled, it's going up. No, it's just mushing. It's not going
just
up.
It's smushing. Yeah. But the worst part. All right. So it is kind of a cop out. You're right. Like if he just did.
If it was just a banana, he would shove it up his asshole.
Okay. It's kind of a cop out, right?
Totally.
But no, it's not because
yeah, I know. He's stuffing it in with his fingers. I'm well aware of what he does. I still think it's a cop out.
Oh my God. Like, that's why it's so insane. Like, it's like, as I'm watching it, I'm like, oh man, it's kind of weak sauce. Like, you know, you pull out the soft banana and he's using his fingers to stick the banana.
Making sure it's all gets up there. That's what I'm saying. Holy he could have just done it easier.
Oh my God. I'm throwing it at fans. So I'm not going to be doing that at the Salem Horror Fest. I don't know. We'll see. We'll figure out what's going on. But we'll be, it's going to be a live show. We're doing Halloween 3 and Videodrome. Halloween 3, obviously, got a lot to talk about there. Videodrome.
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
James Wood.
I'm just going to be like, this is fucking weird.
Just read James Wood's tweets.
How excited are you guys to see a gun come out of James Wood's belly and vomit? It's a fucking
I remember Cronenberg. Liking Videodrome.
It's good. Yeah. But it's just fucking gross. Like, yeah, there's sure. Nothing to joke about.
Cronenberg.
Yeah. Just, yeah. Just fucking awful. I hope you like seeing Skin, a lot of it. The yeah. New skin, the new flesh. All right. Yeah, that's it, man. That's it. All so, right. Oh, yeah, nah, we'll save it for maybe the next episode. Okay, so Ghost Ship.
Like, ghost shit.
I was trying to come up with puns that weren't that, and I couldn't. All right, so let's get into a Ghost Ship. It opens up. I had a lot of hopes for this at the opening. I'll be honest. It opens up and it's like kind of, it's very rom-com-y. Rom-comedy?
That rom-com? Song is very long.
Oh no, that's the other movie we did. I was about to say there's a ton of long scenes in it, but that is Lumberjack Man next week.
Lumberjack Man is just one long scene.
We open up, I don't want to say it's like Love Boat-esque, but it's like kind of like a romantic comedy. It's like this bright pink cursive writing on the screen to the point where I was like, am I watching the wrong movie? And then it came up Ghost Ship in this like funny little cute romantic font, and I was like, that's weird. And we're in a cruise with a lady singing in Italian, I guess.
It's Italian, yeah.
Okay. We're seeing a few stories going on as the credits are rolling and this woman is singing forever. None of these stories matter though, really, do they?
No.
Cause like there's one story that's very clear where it's like a waiter and a little girl. Like one of the people on the boat and the little girl are like kind of chummy in a very creepy way.
I thought it was like her grandfather, but it's not.
No.
Yeah.
No, definitely not, as we learn later. But it's nobody. So good news.
There you go.
You know, you see this boat. Everyone's having a blast. Everyone's out on the deck dancing. They're having like a dance on the deck of the boat. And then we see a hand flipping a switch and it pulls. Okay, this doesn't exist on a boat.
First of all, you're absolutely right. Second of all, what year did you think this was?
Holy shit. Okay, that's the best part of this whole thing to me, was this looks like 1920.
I agree. Or earlier.
Yes.
Like 1800s.
Anything like that. Yeah, like, yeah, you're right, because it's like kind of like Titanic-esque.
Which Titanic was like, what, 1912 or whatever?
Yeah, yeah, so, yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah.
That area.
Yeah, oh yeah, I thought that was, I didn't know what year Titanic was.
I have no clue.
Yeah, so I was thinking this was 1920s, 1910, 1920, yeah. That era. Later on, they're like,
it's 1962.
Makes no sense whatsoever.
they had like technology.
It was
that,
insane.
That ship would not be lost like that.
No. It was the 60s, dude.
Like, we had airplanes. Commercial airliners.
It was the weirdest thing. That was honestly one of the most troubling things.
Also, they find that this cruise ship was carrying bars of gold in 1962.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Like
it's currency. Yeah. Stupid.
It is fucking stupid. But we see this hand and it's like flipping like a giant switch, like a giant lever.
It is. Yeah.
That's open. Like it's out in the open. It's very clear. And the hand pulls it and it starts pulling. For some reason, it pulls all the lights down like it was attached to the lights, and then somehow causes a steel wire to tighten
from a huge spool,
from a giant spool. Like the spool's like rolling it up like right. A fishing line.
Yes.
But then this causes the steel wire to tighten and then slice across the entire deck.
Yes.
Cutting everybody in half.
So it is cool in a sense that it's unique and like as soon as it happens, you see it go through and everybody just freezes. The music stops and everybody slowly starts like falling apart because you're just chopped in half and like a dude's head is chopped in half. It doesn't take away from the fact that it's asinine.
It's totally asinine. I mean, first of all, I pray to God there's no lever on a boat that's like, this will engage the wire that slices the boat in half.
That anyone could easily walk into.
There's no way there's a lever on the boat that does that. So that was a little weird. I mean, it was, excuse me, it was really cool though. But there's a few flaws in it actually. So there's that. And then there's also the fact that some people are cut at an angle. Like It was a straight line and people are cut at different areas. Like, the captain's head slices off like at a diagonal.
Which would make sense if he was the smallest person, but he was like the tallest by far.
Right. And we see a little girl survives because she was too short.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Again, this was 1962. So this would have been like global news. Like literally every country in the world would have heard this happen.
Right. And it would have been a known missing boat. All of this
also
stuff.
It's I've never dissected an opening like this, but it's very hard to believe that literally every single person on that boat was in that area at that time.
They weren't. As we learn later.
As we learn later. Which it makes it even stupider because they could have gotten help, like called the radio.
Sick soup later on. We cut to present day. Oh, the ending of this movie. Did you predict it? Did you know that?
Seen it before.
Yeah, no, but when you first saw it, like, because I predicted it. I wrote it down.
I honestly, I don't remember.
Yeah, I predicted it. I was so
I proud. Know my high school girlfriend loved that opening scene more than like anything.
Everyone liked it. I don't know why. High school?
It was 2002, right? 2001. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Wow.
These movies are so, like, movies that came out, horror movies that came out at that time. No, movies in general were so generic.
Shitty.
Like,
they were so, so shitty. They played nu metal and just.
So much Mudvayne in this?
Dude, not so much. It was one fucking song, but twice. A lot of it. Yeah, it was twice, but it was the same song. Dude, and I'm pretty sure this movie was just. I as soon as the Mudvayne song plays, which is shortly, I knew. I was like, holy shit. I remember this being like the promotional vehicle for Mudvayne's album. Like, do you remember that? I'm pretty sure this movie was I'm pretty sure this movie was like, they were probably like, we can't release this. And then they were like, you know what? We got this Mudvayne album like to release. Like, why don't we just fucking cross promote?
You think they were banking on Mudvayne to make more money than the movie?
Dude, I remember it being.
This movie made a shit ton of money.
Did it really?
So it was made for $20 million. And by shit ton, I mean, it like tripled it. Still, it's not bad. It made $60 million.
Who directed, do you know? Worthwhile? Nah,
Dickface, Steve Beck.
Oh, Steve Dickface. Oh, what? Steve Beck?
Yeah.
All right.
I'll look him up while you talk.
All right. So we cut to present day. We see some extreme with an X because it's 2002.
He directed the fantastic 13 Ghosts from 2001.
I do like 13 Ghosts.
I don't. But those are the only two movies he directed.
Oh. So how come he hasn't made other movies then? Like, okay, I know they're not the great, but like, if your movie makes money, who gives a shit?
I know. And he did the visual effects for Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, The Abyss, and The Hunt for Red October. And those are the only five things he's done.
It's really weird. Yeah. Like, because if you make money, who gives a shit?
Well, that's very clear, especially today.
Oh, yeah. Huh. Well, whatever. So present day, we got these extreme... I guess what we'll find out is they're like scavengers is what they call themselves.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Am I correct on that? We got our badass girl.
Scavengers?
Ass with two Z's. I don't know.
So they're salvagers.
Salvagers.
Salvage.
Does it fucking matter? They're scavengers. Like they go out in the ocean and they're like, hey, look, we found a fucking rotten old ship.
Yeah.
Let's get it.
Yeah.
They're scavengers. They're fucking hobos of the sea. Badass girl, ass with two Z's, who breaks the rules, but she knows what she's doing. You got your computer. Dude, this movie is just one entire giant trope. Like, everything is a trope.
Very much.
Like, we could talk about this in tropes. You got your computer whiz guy, and all of them, oh my God, it's like character actor central. You have Quinn from Dexter.
Yep.
Darden from OJ, the OJ Simpson movie. He's been in a bunch of other stuff too.
Is that Isaiah Washington?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's from Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, is he? Is Isaiah Washington in this?
Yeah. That's Isaiah Washington.
And he was in this. Wait, so did he play Chris Darden in OJ? Shit, I called him Chris Darden the whole time.
What, like your notes?
Yeah. Nope. It's Christopher Sterling Brown. Fuck. They looked. Oh, my God. He looks just like Chris Darden in that show. All right. Well.
He does. Okay. So I just Googled Sterling. I see it.
Dude, they look a lot alike. Like especially if you watched him in OJ, he's got the same goatee and the same fucking glasses. It's so crazy. Like, they look. I can't even believe that it's not him. I'm honestly fucking shocked. Like. It's crazy. Oh, so it's Isaiah Washington. What a piece of shit. I hate that guy. I fucking hate that guy. And I love the guy that played Chris Darden in OJ. He was so fucking good in OJ Simpson. Like, honestly, he was the best part of that show. I wanted him to win like every award. Well, anyway, these bunch of group of character actors. They're all at a bar. Well, they went salvaging, whatever. I don't know. I guess they got a big loot because now they're at the bar
celebrating.
Like, pirate's life for me type of shit. And then Quinn from Dexter shows up. And he's like, hey, man, I found this sunken boat. Do you guys want to get it?
In well, Dexter and in this, he just has the same emotion.
Dude. That guy sucks.
Shit.
That guy sucks.
Cardboard face.
Why? How does he get acting work? Honestly, dude, he was the same way in Dexter.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. He just does that same dumb face. Yeah,
it's like Blue Steel.
It's like, yeah, it is kind of like Blue Steel. It's kind of like Eli Manning, like on the sideline.
How dare you?
Well, come on. Catching flies. Like his mouth's always like half cocked. So Quinn approaches him and is like, hey man, I have a picture of a boat in the ocean. And the crew's like, oh, I don't know about this. And the guy's like, listen, 20%. They counter to 10. And Quinn's like, okay, but I have to come with you. Like, okay, this guy's giving you 90% of.
And they never worked with him before, right?
No, none of this makes sense. I mean, you wouldn't trust his picture, but they're like, well, adds up.
It is in the ocean. That's where boats are.
It's shaped like a boat. We should trust this guy who just took half the money he requested as long as he could ride in a boat like a fucking idiot. And then, of course, you know, the captain's like, well, you're not coming in my boat. I don't think he had an accent.
That's Gabriel Byrne.
I don't know.
He's from The Usual Suspects.
Oh.
You've never seen it?
No, I did one a long time ago. Ah. I don't care about those movies. Anyway.
Stop it.
Well, but then they agree. Really quickly. He's like, not on my boat. And Quinn's like, oh, all right. There's a lot of other people that'll take this. And he's like, all right. Man, everyone is terrible at calling bluffs. Fucking 20%. Nah, 10%. All right. Like, not even a fucking in-between negotiate. These people are terrible. But hey, salvaging, man. Salvager's life for us. We get into the boat, rocking out to a little Mudvayne.
Yep.
Now that's the tour we saw him on together for that album.
At the Webster?
Yeah. Not falling.
Was that LD50?
Yeah.
Nice.
I wanted to listen to it after that.
With Dig?
Yeah. No, Dig was the first album.
Great.
Dude, Mudvayne's awesome until they stopped being Mudvayne, right?
After LD50?
Yeah.
Like, well, that song, Happy?
Oh, my God.
Dog shit.
I forgot about that.
I don't remember how it goes.
Yeah, neither do I. I do remember it, though. I remember the video. And then they took off all the makeup and stuff.
Yeah, I fucked with them. The first two albums were great.
The first two albums are awesome.
Yeah.
But that second album, like, blew my hair back. That's what this was.
Well, they were like technical, like they could play.
Was it the bassist or the guitarist that was nuts? I think it was probably both, but I remember one of them.
They had weird timings on their songs.
Very weird. Yeah. And I remember people were saying like the bassist was like one of the fastest things. Like he was just like fucking awesome. Yeah, we saw them. So the crew's rocking out. Well, one guy in the crew's like rocking out to Mudvayne. And later on, he's rocking out to Mudvayne for what must be 15 minutes because later the captain comes up and he's trying to talk. The captain's like, because he sees the ship in the water. He sees it on his sonar and he's like, Captain, you got to come up here. The captain comes up there and Mudvayne's just blasting and he's like trying to talk to him like it's an emergency. And the captain's like, turn that shit off. Finally. But after like talking to him for like 5 minutes. They see it on the sonar. Captain comes up. They find that ancient ship that they had been talking about. But as we learn, not so ancient.
The ancient ship 40 years ago.
There's a lot wrong with this, and it starts there, I think.
Gabriel Byrne was probably very much alive when that when that happened to that ship.
Probably. Like, it's so weird.
What am I saying? He 100%
was. 100%
was. Yeah, he was like in his 20s. he would have read about it in the paper.
So they find the ship, and our fearless crew decides to go inside. Naturally. And they...
Doesn't somebody be like, holy shit, an ocean liner, where'd that come from?
They're all surprised. Like, that's why I didn't understand the sonar thing. They're going out to, they have a photograph that they all believed. Otherwise, why would they go out into the middle of uncharted water?
All shocked that it's there.
And yeah, they are, dude. It's, well, and they go into international waters, which they're like they explain, like, this is a huge risk for us. Like, okay, if it's a huge risk and you're trusting this printout from this asshole, looks like a creep. Yeah, like you should probably believe it if you go out there. And like I said, that guy's like, Captain, you gotta come take a look at this. So, like, I was so confused. Like, I thought the ship was a ghost. I thought they were gonna run into. I thought the ship was sunk when Quinn handed me that. Hands them the paper.
Yeah,
I thought the ship was in the water. Like, right? Because it's 2002, and the aerial photograph looks like it was taken from Mars.
that's very true. But so you're saying you.
I'm getting so frustrated.
Are you saying you thought that the ship itself
was a ghost?
Like
it was had like an invisible
human features?
No.
Okay.
I thought no. I didn't think it was like Christine. I thought it was just going to be like
a ghost ship.
A ghost ship.
Because that's the name of the movie.
Right.
Okay. Then I'm with you.
Okay. So when Quinn hands him the paper, I assumed it was sunk, and based on that photograph, that shitty quality photograph, that's what made me think that, because I was like.
It's completely agreed.
Crappy aerial photo, because it's 2002. They could just fly a plane by it and snap a panoramic photograph.
I'm pretty sure they had drones then, too. Like, anything.
Why wouldn't they? Okay. Anyway. So,
Didn't they have cell phones with video?
Right.
Like, I know we didn't have iPhones, but.
No, but they had cell phones with video. Or even you could take a picture. Could take a picture. We don't even. But
which they did.
Yeah. So they go. So they go, right? And then this guy's like, Captain, I see something on the sonar. And the captain comes up and he's like, I don't see shit. And like gets mad at him. And then it appears on the sonar again. So I'm like, holy shit, it is a ghost ship. Like the sunken ship is now up. And that is not the case. The ship was just floating on water and everyone's surprised.
For 40 years. And they're the first people to find it.
And you could argue that... like, because it's an evil ship, it stays out there.
But the ship itself is not.
Somebody would have. Oh yeah, you're right.
Because it's not.
Because they ship the fucking. They sink it. Okay. Wow, it's so fucking weird. So our fearless crew goes in. They start creeping around. They start doing your typical pitfall stuff. Rotted out floors, falling, rats running around. Can rats survive on a boat for 40 years?
Almost definitely not.
There can't be that much to eat, right?
I mean, all those corpses.
That's a good point. But most of the corpses are underwater.
Why?
Well, that's what they showed us. Because half the ship
Yeah, you're right. Under- you're right. They did show us that.
First of all, half the ship is underwater.
But why?
Why are the corpses in the water?
Yeah, because they all died on the deck.
Joe, nothing makes sense. Nothing. There's no. Nothing makes sense, Joe. Joe. Why is a boat full of water above water?
Well,
Joe,
I mean,
they go under. Guys, this is my biggest problem with this. When I saw this, I almost turned it off and stopped watching. A bunch of scary shit happens, and they're like, we got to get off this boat. They end up not being able to get off the boat, which we'll get to. But they're like, we got two options. We radio the Coast Guard for help, or we fix this ship and, like, limp it in. A 40-year-old ship that is rusted to death.
The absolute worst option.
The worst condition.
I'd rather swim back to shore.
And everyone's like, well, fix it. Except Isaiah Washington, who's the only guy with half a brain on the boat. And then his brains get scrambled. But he's like, what are you guys talking about? Like, let's get the fuck out of here. But everyone's like, why don't we just fix it? They take welding tools, from where? I guess they brought them. They bring scuba gear. They swim in the fucking boat, inside the boat. They're swimming in the water in the boat that should be sunk because it's filled with water. And they're repairing a gash that literally, because it does like a pan out shot of the outside of the boat. This gash goes across the fucking boat like it's the Titanic, like it hit an iceberg, like a massive iceberg. There's a massive, huge thing. And they wait, no, because they weld it. They weld the boat together with no extra metal. They're just like there's no like sheet of metal that they're going over. They assume that we're so stupid that they just like laser it together, like stitch it together like a wound.
Is that not how you weld?
Yeah, I was so fucking angry.
So could a boat stay afloat if it was filled with water?
I don't think so, Joe.
Who can we call?
No one, because we don't know any fishermen.
Should we ask Paul?
Yeah. Call Paul. Joe, the size of that hole that they were repairing, the thing would be flooded. There'd be no air in the boat. It would go down. I mean, maybe they have those like cabinets. Like, oh, didn't the Titanic have that?
Cabinets?
Didn't they have like compartments full of water? Oh, shit. Maybe that's what it is.
Why?
I don't know.
Well, why do they have that?
So it's like, so it can take on water. Like if it gets, like, if you get hit something,
yeah,
it'll only fill up this compartment with water. So that way it doesn't just continually flood the rest of the boat.
Flood the entire thing?
Yeah. But this gash literally went across the entire cruise ship, so they'd be dead.
Right.
But let's see what Paul has to say. Paul's a boat expert.
All right. Fuck him.
Fuck Paul. All right. Hopefully he calls back to answer the boat question. So let's see. Pitfalls. Oh, dead kids roaming around too.
Yeah.
Dead kids walking around.
Just one though, right?
Yeah, just one kid roaming around dead. They go to the control room and they start analyzing it like it broke down yesterday. Like they're like, oh, look, judging by the speed of this thing, they were maxing out the speed. How the fuck would you ever possibly know that? It's 40 years old and you can't see anything.
You can't see anything. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. It's so weird. And they're like kind of surprised it doesn't work. Like they're like, oh man, it's busted. Yeah, it's been floating in the ocean for 40 years.
I have a list of questions to ask our boat expert when he calls back. Could a boat float in the ocean for 40 years?
I would find it hard to believe. I feel like without maintenance.
No, what am I even saying? Of course not.
I feel like without maintenance, like it's going to do something. Yeah, like something's going to happen to it. There's only one way to find out. Put a boat out in the ocean for 40 years. That's the next thing.
You want to do that?
The horse show sponsors.
It's Patreon.
GoFundMe.
We're looking to buy an ocean liner. So 40 years from now, we can know if this movie was bullshit or not.
I kind of want to do it.
Me too.
That's another one for our horse Mythbusters. Can an ocean liner stay afloat for 40 years in the ocean? In international waters.
It's the only way to find out.
They find a digital watch on the boat, too, which I guess means that other people have been there, but it doesn't really matter. And everyone, like, only one guy's like, hey, look at this fucking watch. And it's like pretty crucial piece of information that he just found a digital watch on board this ship that's empty.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, what are you, stupid? Like, everyone's like, it's a fucking watch. What's your point? And he's like, it's digital. And you're like, shut up. And this is when I predicted the ending, and I was correct. Let's see. Captain's talking for way too long about nothing. Says the.
This movie's rather uneventful for a bit.
It's really uneventful, and it's a lot of like technical jargon, like about boating. It really is. Like this captain's talking on and on about like, all right, so we'll bring in the boat. We'll use the tow lines, and some guy's like, well, I don't know about the tow lines. We're going to need an extra 30,000 pounds, and the other guy's like, no, we could do it with this. We just got it, and you're like, I don't give a shit. Where's the ghost boat? Ghost ship. It's really, what else? Quinn starts having a romantic interest with our main girl. Her name's Epps.
Juliana Margulies.
Is that who it is?
Yeah.
Oh, good for her. I guess. I guess not good for her. She's in Ghost Ship. So good for her getting work in 2020. Quinn and her have a heart to heart, and she reveal heart to heart. She reveals she saw ghosts, and Quinn kind of brushes it off. The crew starts looking around more. It's kind of turning into like a whodunit. This is way more of a whodunit than a really shitty whodunit than a horror movie, right?
It's more of a really shitty whodunit than a horror movie. Yeah, of course it is. Not even a question.
Because like the whole thing is like this more of a mystery.
Has anyone ever been scared of this movie?
With a ghost girl.
I have a theory.
What's your theory?
Everybody that says they like this is thinking of Death Ship from 1980.
Which I immediately put on my watch list when I... Because I was searching Ghost Ship and that came up and I was like, well, that looks way better.
Because isn't the poster just like a ghost face on a ship?
Yes.
Yeah, that's so much cooler.
Yeah. I mean,
you think the ship is actually a ghost?
It's probably just as boring. Dude, it's rated really high on Letterboxd. Death Ship. Mm-hmm. And yes, I do think that's what everyone's thinking about. No one's seen Ghost Ship.
I'm pretty sure I could argue the opposite way.
Oh, no. Everyone, like I said, everyone on Instagram was like, I fucking love that movie. And they knew exactly what I was talking about. Because everyone was like, the first scene's awesome. The first scene's awesome.
Yeah.
I just think they forget everything else.
Because yeah, I mean, you know what? That might be because a lot of times, especially with me too, like even like albums.
Oh, yes.
Like there'll be like one really good song. Like that album was like a 5-star classic. And you go back and listen, you're like, this album sucks except for that one
thing. I agree. I completely agree. And obviously, if you look at my ratings on Letterboxd, it's very evident how shitty it is and how I'll talk about it after. Just like VHS with Brad Miska. Like my memory, like I just have such a short-term memory for like the shit that I don't like that I'm just like, yeah, I like it.
See, I'm the opposite because I'm just a miserable fuck. So I only think about things I don't like.
I think, though, this one doesn't work for me in any light.
No.
There's no chance that I like this.
Is there worse movies we've seen?
Now, I also think.
1,000%, yes.
I think our audience might be in the right demographic for seeing this at an age where you were like, that was cool.
Okay. Okay.
Right.
So, like, if. So this came out, we were juniors in high school.
Uh-huh.
So, like, this came out in sixth grade, like, the technology, like, the CGI was kind of a little bit better.
I would be willing to say, like, sixth through even, I mean, I was an idiot in like eighth
freshman,
grade. Even freshman. Yeah. I would be like, even if you, like, took your girlfriend to see it, like.
You're gonna get your first handy.
Somebody said that on Instagram Live.
Yeah?
Yeah.
To this movie?
Yes.
Nice.
And he was like, so I have fond memories of it. I was like, all right.
Who said that?
I don't remember. I don't know if I should announce it. But I honestly don't remember who said it. Sorry. Because I'm sure whoever said it was like, I wish they knew my name. Say it. I can't quite remember, though, who it was. They announced that.
No, then that's totally understandable.
Yeah. Well, it's like I was saying with Freddy versus Jason. Like, I had, like, really good memories of that movie. Because I was, you know, whatever. Things. And then I watched it.
The old popcorn trick?
No, I hate that idea. The fucking butter.
Yeah, butter all over your dick. What a nightmare.
Like, when you eat popcorn at home.
I hate how, like, buttery my hands get when you're
it's
eating.
It's disgusting. Yeah. It's one of, like, the top five worst feelings
in the world.
It's
like putting it all over your balls.
It's like top five worst feelings. It's like the butter and salt on your hand.
I completely agree.
Oh my god. Holy shit. Holy shit. Oh. Well, I forget what I was talking to somebody about. I was talking about this show though. And I was just laughing because I was just like, how do I like oh, I was thinking about the Salem Horror Fest. Because there's going to be a lot of people that don't watch the show, mm-hmm. obviously. And I was like, I'm going to go out on stage and just be like, yeah, we're a show. Like, we talk about, like, I don't know, like Jason Alexander's butthole, fucking butter and salt on our dicks. Anyway, we're like, not even. through this. So anyway, spooky stuff starts happening. They fall into a pool. There's bullet holes in the pool, which literally made no sense till the end.
Until that flashback. Because
I was like,
which still didn't make sense.
I was like, why the fuck are there bullet? It made zero sense whatsoever. But there are bullet holes inside the pool. They start leaking blood. The captain sees a ghost in the mirror. They open up a tank. Fucking corpses fall out. Everyone's freaking out. Doors are locking behind them. But everyone absolutely refuses to call the Coast Guard. Everyone refuses to call the Coast Guard. So they decide. It's really weird. Everyone's just like walking around the boat. Never really explained why though. Like everyone's just like, well, let's just look around. Like, but everyone, as soon as they get together, they're like, this is the most fucked up thing in the world. We got to get out of here. And then they're like, all right, let's split up and walk around the boat. And then this is when they find the gold, which is buried under rats. More rats than I've ever seen.
Of course it is.
Not eating gold. They go into a meat locker.
How would that many rats get on there?
That's actually where my question came from. How would rats survive? Because there's like 8,000 rats in that room.
Yeah.
Just sitting on gold, not doing anything. They'd be so hungry. They would probably eat the people.
Those people would die.
Yeah. Those rats would probably fucking eat them.
Yeah. That's stupid. Because where would they come from?
I don't know.
Like even if like one rat was able to sneak on, it's not going to reproduce it itself.
No, sir. Yeah, it's really weird. But they find all this gold. It's just so stupid. It's just so stupid. I just have a real hard problem about it. Anyway, so they bring the gold back to the rest of the guys. First, they see these two guys that are also helping them with the scavenging. And they're like, hey, we just found a bunch of dead guys in the laundry room. And this in the cargo hold. And they slam the gold down. It's so weird because she sounds so pissed about finding the gold. I mean, I know she's pissed about finding the corpses, but she's like, and this.
Wouldn't you? Like, finding gold is an inconvenience.
I mean, it's heavy. How do you even, how do you even laundry it?
You don't.
Like, because you'd have to, right?
Well, the government's going to take it from
you. They mentioned that it's stolen because, like, all the serial numbers are filed off and shit. So it's clearly, like, stolen gold.
What are you going to do with it?
Like, that's what I am. Like, you have to sell it on like, the black market.
Right.
But I guess if you're a scavenger, even though they're afraid of the police so bad, like, they're like, well, we can't go in the international waters. It's against the law. It's very strange. So they decide that they're going to leave. They're like, let's get, they have a vote. They have a fucking vote about whether they take the gold and leave or like try and like fix the ship. And stay on it. And they vote for gold and leave, of course. So they get on the boat. And this is might be one of the most inexplicable scenes. Like, I don't think you can explain this scene. And I dare somebody to try explain this scene.
Is this when he hallucinates?
No, this is when the boat blows up.
Oh, yeah.
And it makes zero sense whatsoever. So they start getting back on their boat that they took out there. And it just like cutting a bunch, but we see this guy Santo, who's I guess loading up tools in this area.
Sure.
And there's a propane tank just sitting there, and a ghost. There's no fucking ghosts in this. Whatever. Anyway,
the girl's a ghost.
I know, but like, who would have opened the propane tank?
What's his name?
Quinn.
Yeah.
But Quinn is a person.
But he's not.
But he's invisible too.
Oh, I mean.
Anyway, the propane
some powers.
The propane tank opens and it's very loud. It's like, psst, but Santos doesn't hear it because he's loading up tools in the tank right next to it. And then Isaiah Washington. It's so weird. It's so fucking weird. Oh, the girl sees the ghost girl and the ghost girl's like, don't do it. And then like jumps off the boat. And then Isaiah Washington hits like this big red button and is like, oh, I hope everyone's okay. And then he hits this red button, like, which I don't know what it would have done. Like started the boat.
I guess. Yeah.
I don't know. But then the boat just fucking explodes.
Yeah.
And even, okay, so let's say that the red button like starts the motor, right?
I think that's what it did.
That's what it is. Yeah. Okay, so it starts this motor. Why were there two propane tanks right next to a motor that would cause an ignition?
It's a very valid question.
And the boat smithereens. Santos is on fire. Boat fucking explodes. So they're stuck on the ghost ship. They propose to fix the rotten fucking cruise ship. And one guy's like, can we build a raft? Which is not a bad idea.
No.
Actually, once I saw the scuba gear, I was like, why didn't one person just fucking, and I'm sure somebody's going to argue, like, you can't just swim into the ocean in scuba gear. But, like, there were, like, rocks, like, right next to them.
Right, right.
Like, I would just swim to the rocks.
What would you do?
I don't know, but it's better than being on ghost ship because everyone agrees that the boat's fucked up.
Better being on a ghost ship.
Like, everyone's like, this boat is terrible. We got to get out of here. And then half of them are like, yeah, let's fix it and take it. Let's fix it and keep it forever.
And there's still somehow so much more that happens.
Dude, like dead girls doing ballet.
But none of this matters.
No, and really bad like story dynamic, like really bad character development, like the captain's drinking problem, which like doesn't really come into play because he's hallucinating anyway. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like
he is. And had not, yeah, never mind.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It's weird, but they like play on it for like a 15-minute scene of him and the captain drinking.
It's just terrible character development.
It's really bad. The two bros on the boat.
It was like the Shining homage, maybe.
I mean, the whole thing is kind of like that, right? Like it's stir crazy. Here's my pitch for this movie. All right, let's get through it and then I'll give it my pitch. Let's just fucking cruise through this.
The ghost ship is played by Bill Cosby. And it's called Ghost Dad.
Ghost rapist. Allegedly. Is it confirmed? Can we just say? He probably doesn't listen. Our bros are, they're like, hey, let's eat some beans. And they start eating beans for like a 10-minute scene. And they're like, these beans are so fucking good. And then it turns out they're maggots.
They're just maggots?
They're just
Why would you not know that?
Yeah. So now the ghosts are just like playing fucking classic ghost pranks on them, right?
Yeah.
Like now it's just like naked ladies walking around, luring Isaiah Washington to fall into an elevator shaft. Okay. Making people eat fucking maggots, making a guy drink who doesn't drink.
I just want to skip ahead for a second. Do you mind?
No.
Because can I reveal?
Yeah, yeah, you can reveal whatever.
All right, so not what's his name? Not Dokes. Quinn. Quinn is surprise motherfucker. Dude, that would be amazing. Dude,
I would love him in this. Calls everyone an asshole. I love Dokes so much. Oh my god. I rooted for Dokes that season.
Of course you did.
Oh, right.
Fuck that.
Because the show's about a serial killer.
Yeah.
Of course you fucking want him dead.
Surprise, motherfucker. Dude, this movie would have been awesome. What was I saying? Oh, so he's revealed to be a demon?
Okay, yes. So turns out, spoilers. I don't know what you say. Quinn is like the devil or like works for the devil?
Sure.
Right.
So... I don't even know how to word this question because why
is it a paying job?
Why is he?
Because he explains it that it's a paying job.
He does. But like, did he cause the ship that happened in the first place in 1962?
I think he does it over and over again.
Okay. So he has that ability to be there.
Yeah.
So then why does he leave? And then want to come back.
Why doesn't he just take a different cruise ship?
That's my point.
Full of people instead of luring seven people to a shitty old one.
So he's just trying to get these seven people to the old one, right? Yeah. That's what he's doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that like he could have a lot more people. This seems like a lot of work. Plus, he has supernatural powers.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah, we know he takes different ships because at the end, he's boarding a new ship.
And she's watching him. She's like, no!
And he just stares at her with the same look he gave her all.
A brand, of course. Yeah.
So you don't even
acting
get
acting ability of a tube saga. But yeah, he's boarding a different ship. So this whole thing with seven people.
Also, all this work for seven people.
Also, why does it have to be on a ship?
Also, why not just kill him as soon as they get on the ship?
Right, yes. Yes. I hate that shit so much. Like, just kill it.
You have
no one's
going to
stop him.
You have the, he literally shapeshifts.
He got blown up.
He shapeshifts.
Yes, because he was that other guy for a while.
We learned that later. He shapeshifts.
And then he got blown the fuck up.
Yeah.
And he's still just... And he can go on land. Mm-hmm. He met them at a bar.
Yes.
Why not just kill him at the bar? Why is that? Was that explained?
No.
Why does it have to be this ship?
I don't know.
Why are there ghosts on this ship?
Let's just give a little like for people that didn't see it. So, basically, we learn the history of the ship because the dead ghost girl touches our lead Epps. Like she's like, come with me. I want to show you something. Yeah, yeah. Basically, everyone's dead, and. Touches Epps, brings her back in time, and we see this entire thing unfold, right? Which would have been awesome to know prior to all the shit we saw.
Yeah.
Okay. It would have been great to know because it would have cleared up some things. So what we learn is the entire wait staff of the ship, the crew, was in on it. They put poison in all the food that killed somehow everybody in the boat that wasn't on the deck. The rest of the crew cut up the people on the deck. Then they just started walking around murdering people with little knives, very small knives, like razor switchblades, murdering everyone. The girl gets away. We see her running. They're going after her. It's learned that I guess they catch her and hang her.
Yes.
Which is pretty fucking brutal.
But why?
No one knows.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. Because like whatever. So we learn that. Then we learn as that happens, the crew goes down to the stairs to get the gold, I guess. They they blow the doors off.
Yep.
They go to get the gold. The singer comes down and like one of the crew's like smitten with her.
Yep.
Or whatever. She kills him and then fucking kills everyone else.
Yes.
Kills everybody else. Everyone's dead now except the singer. She's the only one alive. And then we see a shadowy figure come in. It's Quinn.
Yes.
And then he somehow magically makes...
stabs her through the... No. What did he do to her?
He magically makes a hook come
that's
swinging.
Right, that's right.
Swinging. And, which, by the way, might kill you just from blunt force.
Yes.
Depending on the weight. But it's not going to pierce. Like, it lifted her.
I got confused with the scene from Lumberjack.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. The hook.
So the hook gets her, and then Quinn walks away.
So what was his motivation?
I don't know.
Okay.
That's what I don't understand. Like, I don't understand if he, like, so, and then at the very end of the movie, we see later see Quinn hasn't died, like we were told, and is boarding a new ship with all the gold and the crew, with the same crew. So.
I think I found on Wikipedia an explanation.
Dude, but Wikipedia, I swear to God, just add shit to make the story make sense. Like some fan of it, or maybe the writers of the movies add it.
No, it's pretty much what we're saying.
Okay.
It's just a trap to collect souls.
And yeah.
Only the souls of sinners can be readily controlled through the marks he brands with them with.
Oh, right. So they can't be like good people.
Oh, as long as the boat is kept afloat, the soul of everyone who died aboard the ship will be dragged down. And then he has to fill his quota and return to hell. But the ship does sink at the end.
Yeah, and he lives.
And he boards a new one.
Dude, it's insane. It's insane. And yes, and then Quinn appears and reveals to us, like, he's like, this is my job. He's like, I get the souls. I bring them. I'm a scavenger just like you guys. Like,
right.
I fill up the boat, and when I have my quota, I bring it to the big man. And it's
so he should be fired because he's only bringing seven people at a time,
dude. And think about how many days it took. Like, he's making less than one person a day easily.
Yes,
with the amount of time he spent on land and get the fuck out of here with this guy. Quinn sucks at his fucking job.
He does.
He's fucking brutal. He's fucking terrible. In between all this, we see there's not a lot that happens in between, is there? No. Oh, one of the things I wanted to say was when they're explaining the all the stuff, we see how the bullet holes got in the pool.
Yes.
Okay, so the bullet holes are inside the pool.
Yep.
Like the pool's empty. It's an empty pool when she falls into it, and there's bullet holes on the side. And they explain it to us by people standing above the pool shooting people that are in a line straight.
Yep.
And somehow that put bullet holes inside the pool.
Right.
Okay. Just making sure. Like that's just like piss poor, right? Like, come on.
It's all piss poor. I'm like lost in my thoughts right now, thinking about why all these bad people are on a ship in the first place, and then why the ship has to be the one that stays afloat.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really weird. So our lead Epps, our girl, and Quinn, they battle it out. Oh my God, this was the best. They battle it out, and basically Epps knows she has to sink the ship. Mm-hmm. She figures that out. I don't know, because the ghost girl.
He tells her.
Oh.
Doesn't he? Doesn't he, like, reveal it? No. It's like one of those scenes where, like, the bad guy tells you the plan.
Oh, maybe.
So you have a chance to stop him.
Maybe. But she was going to blow it up beforehand, but I think he explained it after the fact to us. Because I was like, "What? Why is she going to blow up?"
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
And then he was like, "Oh, I'll tell you. I'm here." So they battle it out, like, with fist fight. Like, she did. She knows he's a fucking ghost. He just shapeshifted, and they're, like, fist fighting. Anyway. But then Epps grabs a fucking harpoon. She had a C4. She had attached C4 to the bottom of the ship to blow it up. And she dropped the trigger. Mm-hmm. And she uses a harpoon to shoot the trigger of the C4.
Precise. What a mark.
It would just break the fucking trigger. It would, oh my God. And the ship sinks. Very epic sinking scene. And all the ghosts escape.
Yeah, they ascend to heaven because they're all such good people.
Yeah, they're all sinners. Somehow Epps survives, which is really flabbergasting. She was... Yeah. See, there's like a million pounds of C4 under her ass, and she's like swimming on a suitcase.
The girl like helped her escape, right?
I mean, that doesn't. Yeah, the girl.
Oh no!
The girl was like, the ghost girl helps her escape by like pointing to doors. You
should leave now. Shit's blowing up. Yeah,
she should be on fire and dead. But she survives by hanging onto a piece of luggage. Another cruise ship finds her days later. And we see her getting wheeled off the cruise ship after they disembark, being loaded onto an ambulance. And from the ambulance, we see. Well, first we hear ding, 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 and we see a crew of very familiar faces loading gold onto the new cruise ship. And then we see.
So they got the gold from the old cruise ship?
I guess, Joe, because it's the same shitty old crates.
There's no way. That ship got blown up. And there's no way they sent someone out there in time to collect all that gold.
If I saw those crappy old crates being loaded onto my cruise ship, I'd walk off.
Yeah. Also, why does this demon want the gold? God. But like, this isn't even like bad fun.
Like, here's my thing. I guess there's maybe like kind of explanations, but it's just like poorly written. Like my guess is maybe the gold is to lure sinners. But like to me, it's not a sin. It's free gold. It's in international waters. And it's like you can take
2002.
Whatever. And it's shitty gold.
Nobody fucking cares about bars of gold.
And we close out to Mudvayne. Yeah. I'll stand. Not falling. What would you rather do?
Not this. Whatever you throw at me, not this.
I guess you're right about that one. Suppose you're right.
Who are we going to ask?
I don't know if you'd rather watch Mudvayne. Okay, so here's my pitch for this movie that would have made it infinitely better. And you're probably just going to say yes, and that'll be the end of this conversation. Because I was like, you know, I was waiting the whole time for like some spooky shit because it's called Ghost Ship. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if you remember the title. I was really hoping, really fucking hoping for like a Castle Freak in there. That would have made this so good.
Okay.
Give me a Castle Freak in this ship. Okay. They come on the ship. They're looking for gold. They're coming for our gold. And if rats can live for 40 years on a boat, then that totally explains Castle Freak living for like 100 years in a castle by himself, not eating.
Sure.
With a sewn up butthole.
Well, he eats.
Give me a Castle Freak. Give me a Castle Freak on this boat.
But like, remember the first Pirates of the Caribbean? There's like actual yes. ghost ships.
Yes.
Like, I would rather just watch that.
Yeah.
Just like ships like that.
Well, that makes perfect sense.
Because those are ghost ships.
That was. Can we just change that to ghost ship? It kind of is. What's it called? Dead Man's.
Chest. The first one?
Yeah.
Black Pearl. Curse of the Black Pearl. Right?
I don't know. Yeah.
Gives a shit.
We got a cruise liner from the 60s with like no ghosts on it. One ghost.
The fucking. One ghost. That's holy shit. Yeah. Is that true?
Well, like, I mean, there's other ghosts, but they're not doing anything.
Yeah.
Like, that's the problem. Like, at the end, we see 8 million ghosts flying away.
Yeah, yeah.
Why weren't those ghosts like, hell? Oh, because she was unmarked. That's why. Okay. Okay. So, okay. All right, so all right. She was unmarked. All right. Okay. Fine. But don't call it ghost ship then. How about that? Because there's no ghosts. It's devil ship.
Jerk ship.
Devil's employee ship. Dude, the way he explains his job, he's like, this is my job. He's like, this is what I do. I have quotas. I have deadlines. Like, he really explains it like it's his fucking, like, I come here 9 to 5. People get mad if I don't do it. Like, it's so insane. It's so fucking insane. I kind of like the angle, though.
Would you watch it if there was a Lumberg, a ghost Lumberg?
Quinn, we're going to have to ask you to come in on Saturday. I mean, yeah, I would have. Like, give me the behind the scenes of the devil's employees.
Agreed. Agreed.
To have to go on cruise ships. have to try and trick people to coming to a cruise ship in international waters. Like, what a fucking nightmare. Give me that mockumentary.
And then Quinn going to HR about it.
Like, oh, this guy's fucking harassing me. This guy's up my ass. Oh, man. So that's Ghost Ship, guys. Hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
People, everyone enjoys it, I guess, except us. We're the fucking jerks that somehow think this is problematic. Oh, how about the guy that gets sucked into the gears and his face is just like his perfect face? There's so many similar kills from this and Lumberjack Man, actually. There's like a lot of similar things, but
okay. What would you rather watch?
This or Lumberjack Man? Yeah. Maybe we'll answer that after Lumberjack Man's episode.
Okay.
Right now, I don't know.
Is this?
I think it's
this. Is this? Without a doubt.
I don't know, dude. This was really boring.
That's fine.
Lumberjack Man was long, though.
Lumberjack Man was like 20 minutes longer and equally as boring.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. All of our Patreons are like, oh, this sucks. I gave you two other good movies. You give me, you pick out the shit.
What was it? Hatchet and what?
My Bloody Valentine, the remake. Which, I mean, they're not great.
I enjoy both. I enjoy both of them way more than like anything we've ever talked about.
Oh, 100%. But I mean, you know what I mean? Like My Bloody Valentine remake, I don't know if I've seen, honestly.
I saw it in theaters in 3D.
I don't think I've seen it. But like, yeah, like we're the jerks that pick it. So don't be upset. Like, honestly, like, first of all, our opinion means, yeah, I know. I don't know why I'm explaining. All right, guys. Not even Brad Miska got upset.
Yeah.
Brad, our boss, started listening to our show after our meeting. And he produced VHS 2. He produced all the VHSs. Yeah. And he listened to our VHS 2 episode and immediately tweeted, like, I forget what it was, but it was like the horror show. You can trust the horror show because they make fun of VHS 2. And they like rip VHS 2 shreds, which is funny to think about, like a producer who also knows us and likes us. So that's the end of this episode, guys. We have Lumberjack Man next week. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to rent that one, guys. Sorry. Ghost Ship you can find in some spots. Lumberjack Man. If you like, here's my thing with Lumberjack Man. If you like really dumb comedies with lots of boobs,
this is not for you.
Watch Lumberjack Man. Rent it. And that's next week. Oh, and we should say Rachel B. chose Ghost Ship.
Yeah, thanks, Rachel.
Fuck, forgot to give her a shout out. Rachel B. chose Ghost Ship. Oh, wait, should we look at what her other choices were? Oh, Lady in White and Sleepaway Camp 2. So again, we are stupid.
Yeah. I think we chose that one on like while recording. We were like, yeah, Lumberjack Man. I mean, he looked sweet.
No, we did. We did. But I said we shouldn't do Lumberjack Man.
You did you?
Like, yeah. And you were like, look at this.
Why? Well,
and you pulled up a stupid picture of him and we were like, okay.
Well,
he's got feathers in his hair and red eyes.
Let's, it was real stupid looking. You know.
We should probably, yeah.
I have no qualms about that.
Get ready in 2 weeks when we do Sorority Babes in the Slime Ball Bowl-a-rama.
Are we doing that?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
What are the other choices?
Subspecies and Doll Man.
That's the right choice.
Yeah.
I know. The fuck is Subspecies?
Dude, this is the exact same conversation we had about Ghost Ship and Lumberjack. Like, literally. Oh, my God. We're so dumb.
What's the other one?
I don't know yet. We can talk about it because July, we're bringing Paul back.
Ugh.
And we're going to have... We're bringing Paul back. And I think we're going to do it. It's July. All month of July, we'll have Paul. It's going to be our splatter summer movies. All splatter flicks. Gross fucking splatter flicks with our homie Paul.
Nice.
So, should probably just say that.
Should we?
So, tune in next week while we talk about Lumberjack Man.
Should we make Gary watch one?
Gary's not going to watch a fucking movie for us.
He might.
Can we get Gary and Robin?
No, I won't come. Dude, Gary made Paul turn off the Matrix because he was covered in black goo in like one scene. He's just too disgusting.
Gary is Paul's dad, by the way, everyone. And Robin is his sidekick.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's weird.
I dare to tell Robin that.
Robin might carry firearms. Like in a basket.
No, he does. Also, for Joe, this is Sean.
All right, guys. Yeah. All right, guys. So what are we saying? Okay, so might have shirts soon. You'll hear an announcement on the top. Our shirts are going to be coming out soon. So stay tuned to that. If you can support us, rate, review, subscribe on iTunes. That's the best way to support us. Means a lot to us and it really helps us out a lot. And if you do, email me Sean@IHateHorror.com and I'll send you some stickers in the mail. We have tons of stickers now back in stock. So I'll send those. What else? Facebook.com/IHateHorror, IHateHorror.com. I'm on Twitter @IHateHorrorShow, Instagram and Snapchat @IHateHorror.
I'm at Jovi421, Boogdish 1985, and Horror Show Joe.
That's it. Thanks, Harley Poe, for allowing us to use the song Gorehound. We really appreciate it. And that's a wrap, I think, right? Next week, Lumberjack Mizan.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, tune in, guys. So, for Joe, this is Sean. Stay weird.
Thank you.
Adios. I gotta be a ghost. Adios.
This is beat of the day.
Yum, yum. He makes a stupid face. Why does he do that?
Yum, yum.
To scare kids, I think. It's a fucking
kid. He's teaching them how to beatbox.
I know, but
also, it's the shittiest beatbox.
Then you suck your teeth like this.
Yum, yum.
Have you seen the one where he's got a bat hat on his head?
This one.
Oh, that's the one.
Yeah, he strokes the wing. I don't know why I've seen this.
He's in every episode of that show.
What was it? Yo Gabba Gabba? Yeah.
This is beer of the day.
And by the way, that's supposed to be his like spooky Halloween voice.
Oh no, I'm well aware.
Would you like to try one too?
Yum yum. Oh god, holy shit.